This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's September 25th, 2019. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Rand Storch.
Hello.
A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and are listening live, you can call us right now at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. If you're listening to this on podcast, you can also send an email to that same address, or you can visit and comment at Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. Okay, let's get into it here. Ron's rant of the week. More news from the White House. Apparently,
I really like peaches. I'm so excited about peaches. I want to eat lots of peaches.
Okay, that's nice. Apparently, President Grump has delayed the Chinese tariff increase.
Peaches.
Which is, once again, it's another 15 days. They're set to increase from 25% to 30% on October 1st. And he said that the increase will be delayed until October 15th. And a number of these items are bicycle items. That's why I bring this up right now, because it's definitely affecting the bicycle industry and the consumers and commuters and everyone who uses a bicycle for transportation or recreation in this country. So this is definitely more not so good news, but good news because it does push it off a little bit more. But this just keeps getting pushed and delayed and pushed and delayed and pushed and delayed. And the interesting thing about it, what I find really interesting is, and this is where my rant of the week is going, just so you know, the single-speed adult bikes and maybe e-bikes granted retroactive exclusion from the 25% tariff. Okay. Maybe e-bikes, not real sure about that. Single-speed adult bikes, though. Single-speed adult bikes. How in the world does that happen? So here we are. We've got, single-speed adult bikes were very, very popular a few years ago. Every college campus was loaded with them. They're still out there. There's still quite a few. They're all over the streets in a lot of our major cities. We do see them right up here in stores on campus, too. So the question is, why did this happen? And the interesting thing is, and this is where my rant is going, is that apparently, where is it? There is a company which is called State Bicycle Company, requested the exclusion, public records show. By coincidence, Mehdi Farsi, the co-founder of State Bicycle, told Bicycle Retail and Industry News on Thursday that the company is moving some of its production out of China to Taiwan to avoid the tariff. The company sells between 10 and 20,000 bikes a year in this category, in addition to consumer direct sales. State sells through several hundred dealers. In his letter last year, Farsi said the bicycle industry does not face serious challenges with Chinese counterfeiting or theft of intellectual property. He said there was no way his company could shift his supply chain to avoid the tariff. So here's the deal, and in the direction I'm going with the rant. This one company, one single-speed company, was able to get this exclusion to happen. Hey, bicycle industry, are you awake out there? You guys are just letting this happen. It's like you're rolling over onto your backside, and you're just letting it happen. This company, State Bicycle Company, has reacted and requested, and they got it to go through. So my point is, why are we just sitting around here waiting for things to just happen? Why can't we react first before it happens? Fran, your words?
Peaches.
Peaches. Oh, God. She's back on peaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about the peaches.
That's lovely. What's that got to do with bicycle tariffs?
Oh, because if the peaches happen, then there may not be tariffs. Because it may.
Okay, I'm completely lost now.
What? How do you celebrate that? Something, there's something really, really big going on in the news right now.
Oh yeah, they're that sounds like peaches.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you celebrate it by eating peaches. And the more peaches you eat, the more likely it is to happen.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, there's some
am I superstitious?
Interesting words from Fran this morning.
Plus you get boron and fiber and lutein and zeaxanthin and, you know.
Didn't we just do that on your show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Good. Right. Cool. So, on a positive side, I'm going to move on from that. By the way, if you have any discussion about, you know, what's going on with the bicycle industry, if you are listening and you are from the bicycle industry, and I know you are out there because I know I get comments from you.
Please call us. Yeah. I am standing by. The number to call is 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. The phone is right there. It's ready and waiting, and call in and let's have a chat.
Sure. So if you have any insight on this that you can share with us, Jim, please give us a call and we would love to talk to you about this.
Which Jim?
Anyway, I'll talk to you. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
I don't want to disclose that right now because that's not fair. But anyway, I'm just wondering what the people in the bicycle industry have done to try to stop this from happening, or if they've done anything at all. And if they haven't and they're looking for a lobbyist, I am always for hire. So, if someone wants to cover that. On a positive side, okay, now this is a big one. This is a really big one. Now, everybody who listens to the show knows that I have this, I have a thing about cyclocross. I'm a promoter of a cyclocross race. I've been promoting the race since 1983. It happens to be something that is near and dear to my heart. And also, one of the other things that we have often talked about, and we've also had the guests on from this organization, which is CCAP, the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program, they're getting kids into racing bikes. And cyclocross, of course, is a great way to do it because cyclocross is it's a short race. So the attention span, if you're young, is not overly long, so that's a good thing. That actually matches really nicely. And the other thing is it teaches incredible cycling skills. So you learn really how to ride your bike really, really well when you're doing cross. The Newtown Cyclocross Race, which was last weekend, and it was in Newtown, Connecticut. It is the first of the Connecticut series of cyclocross races that we have here in Connecticut. And anyway, over 100 junior riders showed up to the first Connecticut series of cyclocross race in Newtown, Connecticut. I have talked to people across the country that say they're happy if they can get 100 people to show up to their race. We had 100 juniors, more than 100 juniors. I don't have the exact figures at this time, but I do know just by looking at pre-registration that it was over 100.
So what's going to happen at Mansfield Hollow?
It's going to be big.
We need a food table.
My timing service told me, hang on tight, this is going to be big. My chief referee said, hang on tight, this is going to be big. Because there's a few things going on in the cyclocross world here in New England. Two of the major races that happen at this time of year, one being the Gloucester cyclocross race, and the other one being the KMC Crossfest, they're gone. They're not here this year. So there's no big race in
Where
New
are
England.
They?
I know the promoters, both of them, fairly well. And I know that there were some issues when you're trying to promote a race of that magnitude and you're bringing a couple thousand people in to do a cyclocross race over a couple of days period of time. There are a ton of logistics. Gloucester for years has been struggling with the city, and they love it and hate it at the same time. They love the fact that it brings a couple thousand people into their city and that they get lots of business from it. They hate the fact that it chews the park up. And the promoter has a fund set aside that takes care of the park. And then the KMC Cross Race, CrossFest, which used to be out in Providence, had the same thing set up so that, you know, if the park got chewed up, that they fixed it. They had a professional landscaper come in and take care of it, reseed it, and take care of the damage.
So what's the problem?
So the problem is that there's always someone who is not going to be real happy with that, and they're going to continue to fight over it, and it takes a while for the grass to grow back. And the weird thing is, and this is really, it's kind of unusual, but it's not in any way because you're aerating the soil. Wherever the bikes have ridden, they actually, they churn up and aerate the soil enough so the grass comes up thicker and greener there. So it just doesn't look good for the fall and winter months. And, you know, if we get snow that drops down on top of it, no one sees it, no one knows, it doesn't really matter. At Mansfield Hollow, we don't have much trouble with it because we're in a flood control area, and half the course goes underwater in the wintertime.
And so it does?
You know, you don't see it, and it also kind of naturally repairs itself, which is really nice. But the big field that we have it in that's out by the road, you can see that all fall and winter,
right,
unless there's snow falling on top of it.
Right.
The other beauty of Mansfield Hollow is that it has there's a lot of gravel underneath because three rivers come into it. So riverbank gravel is underneath the soil. So it really, you know, it drains really well. And so we don't have as many mud issues as some of the other courses do.
Oh, okay.
So that's a bonus that we have. Anyway, that's yet another subject for another time. And I'll talk more about Mansfield Hollow Cyclocross coming up here in the next couple of weeks because it's coming up in the next couple of weeks. So
October 12th.
And if anybody is interested in any way and listening to this and wants to help out, just contact me at the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, or you can reach out and get a hold of me by going to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. And I would love to hear from you, and we can always use some help. We always need help. So anyway, that race is on October 12th. I'll get to that towards the end of the production here today. So over 100 juniors show up at the first cross race of the season in Connecticut. Wow. Big shout out to Jed and Connecticut Cycle and the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program. Just unbelievable program. Obviously it's working really well. Hey, if you're listening and you're at a neighboring state like a Massachusetts or Rhode Island or New York, and maybe New Jersey, maybe Pennsylvania, and you've got a child that is racing bicycles and wants to see, like, the next level of competition as far as cross goes, come on up to Connecticut. We've got a whole series here, the Connecticut Series of Cross. Come on up because we have the best junior racing in the country right now. So, anyway, That's my positive side. Was I'm overwhelmed by the numbers. Everyone is overwhelmed by the numbers. It's really, really cool, and I just wanted to make mention of that. The maintenance minute. This is something that I would like to just touch on. I'm not going to get crazy with it, but keep your eyes open on recalls. Yes, just like cars, bicycles get recalled too. So I just want to make sure that you take advantage of being sure that you know that your bicycle is not in a recall situation. What's the best way to know that? Well, if you purchased it at a local retailer, they're probably going to let you know, or a local bike shop. So here's my shout out once again to supporting your local bike shop, because your local bike shop has that information and they will contact you and let you know. Or hopefully if you purchased a bicycle, you registered that bicycle. So therefore you will be getting information from the manufacturer on a recall, because it is required by law for them to contact you in some way. So, and one of the things that just popped up on my screen, because I keep looking, is that Cannondale's recalling some 2013 through 2006 KDEX cyclocross bikes because of fork issues. So if you have that, just call your local bike shop and give them a chat and see if they can help you out on that. I don't know what the issues are. I know we have a dealer right here in town at Store Center Cycle. Shout out to Aaron and the kids. the kids. They're all kids. Anyway, Aaron and the boys. I'm gonna get a comment on that too, because I know someone who is not a kid who works there, and he's gonna say I'm no kid. But anyway, keep your eyes open for recalls, and give the folks over at Store Center Cycle a call, because they can help you out with things too, or other things too. So if you wanna just watch for that sort of thing. If you are not looking out for that, it is always best to go see your local bicycle shop. Notice I'm pushing local bicycle shop here, because they can also inspect your frame and look for things that you may not see when you're looking over your own bike, cleaning your bike off or whatever. By the way, if your bicycle starts to talk to you, if there's a creak or a groan or a click or something that doesn't sound right, doesn't sound the way it did when it was new, get down to the local bike shop, have them take a look at it. Let's just be sure that everyone out there is safe. All right, moving on to the content of the show, the Worlds. Did you know it's the World Championships right now? Did you know about that, Fran?
That's exciting. I think I heard you talking about it.
Yeah, well, I am talking about it because it's kind of like a big deal. It's the World Championships. This is the opportunity. If you win a World Championship title, there could be time trials, team time trials. There's men's, women's, juniors. There's youth U23s. There's all different age groups. There's all sorts of things going on in the world right now. It is over in England right now, and the the weather is typically England, Great Britain. Well, boy, is it ever! It is really bad over there right now.
Muddy.
It has been raining and raining and raining. It's actually perfect cyclocross weather. But it was so bad during the men's U23 time trial that they almost called the race off. And there was, because there was so much water that was rushing across the roads. It was very, very bad, very dangerous. A lot of people crashed. It was a big problem. And they had actually even delayed it slightly before it started because they were concerned about the conditions of the road. Meanwhile, In the process of all that, and this is kind of interesting, and I'm curious as to why this would happen this way. The U23 race, the first place rider was from Denmark. It's Mikkel Berge. How do you say it? B-J-E-R-G. Berge. I guess I'm going to say Berge. It could be Berg. He claimed a third consecutive U23 men's time trial world title. And another astounding display of strength, the 20-year-old covered the 30-kilometer course in 40 minutes and 20 seconds. I'll let you do some math there, friend. You figure that one out. So 30.3 kilometers, 40 seconds. Getting the better of the U.S. duo, get this, second place, silver medal, Ian Garrison, and bronze medal to Brandon McNutley. Hey, we got some riders coming up out of the U.S. right now. We got some serious big-time riders coming up. Those are men's 23 and under. That's U23. And so that's kind of a cool thing. After that race went off, then we went to the women's elite time trial, and the roads were still very wet. It was still raining. It was still one of the it was still just an epic time to be out riding your bicycle, whether you wish to be there or not. And a woman from Washington State, Chloe Dygert Owen, delivered one of the all-time great world championship performances to take her first world title. She is 22 years old, and she won the world championships. She won it by over a minute and a half, which is really pretty amazing. That's a pretty big deal when you that's a lot of time. I've seen, yeah, it was 1 minute and 33 seconds clear of Anna van der Breggen from the Netherlands, and some 152 up on the defending champion Anna Mike van Vleuten, also from the Netherlands. So here we go. The winning margin is the biggest since individual time trials were first introduced into the World Championships a quarter of a century ago, beating the previous record of 127 established by Fabian Cancellara. Remember him? Yeah, in 2009. On a rain-soaked afternoon in and around Harrogate, the arid truth quickly revealed itself. Dygert Owen was in the race of entirely on her own. From a moment, she caught and passed the 2014 champion, and for 1 minute inside the opening 12-kilometer, which apparently was what the world title was hers to lose. So, tough thing. She passed seven more riders along the way. Unbelievable. Just big names, people just that, you know, she was just in a world of her own. There is a video online of her as she finished the race. She crossed the line. They ran out to grab a hold of her. She collapsed on the road and had to be removed from her bicycle. It was amazing. So she made light of the treacherous conditions, however, hurdling the undulating 30.4-kilometer course at an average speed in excess of 43 kilometers per hour. Fast, fast, fast. Anyway, that's what happened there. So a big, big, big shout-out to Chloe for an unbelievable ride. I remember seeing something in here, and it must be on one of my other feeds, but they interviewed her and said, you know, what do you attribute this to? And she said that I live in Washington State. So what does that mean?
That means it's raining, it's pouring, the old man is snoring all the time.
So riding in the rain was not something that she was afraid of.
One of the things you learn when you live in the Pacific Northwest, first of all, the Pacific Northwest has terrific infrastructure for cycling. If you live in Portland, you live in Seattle, you live in Vancouver, BC, great infrastructure for cycling. And if you don't ride in the rain, you don't ride. So you ride in the rain.
Right, right, exactly. So she was pretty comfortable with riding in the rain, which made a really big difference because others were not so comfortable with it. And what happens, your bike handling saves your ride is basically what it does. And interesting also, I'm finding that those two young men from the U23 race too, they were riding in torrential downpours. And this is going to be a shout out to an old name in cycling who, unfortunately, she is no longer with us. But my friend Pat Bowe would know about this. There was a woman by the name of Esther Salmi many years ago. And Esther was a University of Connecticut student here in the pharmacy department here at UConn many years ago when I first met her. I was racing bicycles back then. So we're going back to the 70s and early 80s. And Esther went to the national time trial, and she hammered out an unbelievable ride, and it was pouring out. And once again, horrible, horrible conditions. And Esther knew no; she didn't know the answer of no. She just put it out there and rode an unbelievable ride, and she won the national championships that year. I remember the captions in the magazines saying, Esther who? Because no one knew who she was. She came out of the darkness, and all of a sudden, but she could handle her bike in any condition, and I know that because she used to ride in any condition around here.
I would like to point out that the Gulf Coast Velo has named me the Rain Czarina.
Yes, you are the Rain Czarina. Yes. No, let's explain what that is.
Why am I the Rain Czarina? Yeah. Because, let's see. So I did Mount Wachusett this year. I did the Mount Wachusett ride, for the Charles River Wheelers.
Yep.
And I spent probably 15, 20 miles, not in a light drizzle, not in a steady rain, in torrential downpour. I really thought that I was that my friends were going to decide to bail. They didn't, and I felt like I needed to stay with them.
Okay.
And the thing is, when you get in a downpour like that, at some point, it usually stops raining, and it did.
It was that day. And as long as it's warm, it's not such a terrible thing.
And then that wasn't enough. Oh, well, actually, and that was the week after I had been to the Gulf Coast Velo, and at the Gulf Coast Velo, I rode that ride, and it wasn't raining, and then I was almost done, and I wound up being the Lantern Rouge because I stopped to help somebody, and then that put me behind, and I had an escort, and I had this wonderful man, Paul Tobia, escort me, and then We were not too far from Tampa. We were in Bradenton, not too far from Tampa. And I saw thunder and lightning. And I went, oh, no. And Paul pulled over. I said, how far do I have? He said, 7 miles. I said, I could do that. So I started raining. And then it started pouring. And it started pouring and pouring and pouring. And I just rode anyway because I was going to finish. So there was that. Then there was the Steeplechase Bicycle Tour. And you never know what you're going to get during the Steeplechase Bicycle Tour. So let's see. It started raining in Franklin, and it finished raining in Pomfret. And so that was 30 miles. So gosh, how many miles did I spend riding in torrential downpour this year? Let's see, 30. Let's give it probably 70 miles, something like that. And I rode in torrential downpour just because I had signed up for a ride, and doggone it, I was going to finish.
Mm. There you go.
So you do get, it's true, you get handling skills. Once you're in it and you're doing it, you're like, all right, I'm already here. I'm just going to keep going. And it wasn't that cold for any of them. The worst one was probably Wachusett because, you know, it was in Massachusetts in May. But the other two, it was warm out. So I didn't need a shower at the end.
No.
No.
Hmm.
And it did eventually stop raining for both of those shows.
Yeah.
So this Chloe, she's tall. She's 5'9".
Is she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's a baby. She's 22 years old.
She's 22. Yeah, mm. she's all that. She's she really, is. Really happening. So, yeah, big shout out to her. Really cool. We give you a tip of the Bicycle Talk cycling cap.
Oh yes.
For the outstanding effort, and for the two young men also who did really well in the UC23 race. So the way it works is there are 8 days of racing. It is in the Yorkshire section of
England,
yes. Right? And the first day was the September 22nd, which was the team time trial mixed relay. I'm not sure about that mixed relay thing, but that's that might be a new event, or maybe it's something that's been going on for a while. I don't know. It was 28K, that's all. Monday, September 23rd was the women's junior individual time trial and the men's junior individual time trials. Those were both 14K and 28K. Tuesday, the 24th, was the men's U23 individual time trial and the women's elite individual time trial, which is what we're talking about right now. Today is the men's elite individual time trial. Thursday is the men's junior road race. Friday is the junior women's junior road race and the men's U23 road race. And Saturday is the women's elite road race, 150 kilometers. And Sunday is the men's elite road race at 285 kilometers. So there are a few ways of watching this online if you or on your television if you have a cycling pass you can get in, but they are pay sites, just so that you are aware of that. So anyway, the defending champion for the men's race is, you're going to love this because we were just talking about this guy the other day, Fran, Alejandro Valverde. Is the current holder of the rainbow jersey.
Alejandro,
yes, Alejandro Valverde. So, and then in previous years, it has been owned by Peter Sagan and others. So, and the, let's see, the women's elite road race, last year it was Anna van der Breggen who won her first world championship after going on a solo breakaway for a grueling 40 kilometers. So anyway, we shall see what happens this year. There are definitely some new players out there, which is interesting to see. Valverde finished ninth overall in the Tour de France and second at the Vuelta a España. This year in the Worlds, he'll go up against three-time world champion Peter Sagan, Canadian Michael Woods, who placed third last year, and Michael Matthews, who came close to victory in 2017 and 2015. So we shall see what's going on. Other notables would be Geraint Thomas and Julian Alaphilippe. You can also, you know, we never know, Nairo Quintana, Matthew Van Der Poel, a lot of people are calling for him, Americans Lawson Craddock and Alex Howes, Primo Roglic, who recently won the Vuelta, is also in there. I think he's going to be a little, I think these guys are going to be a little cooked by now.
Yeah.
I would think. But, you know, you just never know. So that's what's going on with the Worlds right now. A bunch of stuff going on with the Worlds, which is kind of cool. And anyway, I thought I would touch on that one today because it's things that are happening as we speak. So, you know, the battle goes on between mountain bicycles and people who are using multi-use trails for pleasure. You know, if they're going for a hike or if they're going for a run or whatever, and then there's mountain bikes out there. So, big shout out to mountain bikers. If you are out there and you're riding on the trails, remember, you're not alone out there, and you're moving a lot faster than the folks that are on foot. So can you please just keep your eyes open on this? Because sure enough, out in Colorado, there is an issue going on right now, and there are snarky signs calling out unfairness on a mixed-use Colorado trail. One anonymous mountain biker created posters that brought light to the hypocrisies seen on a popular path. So anyway, the signs that went up, he obviously had them printed somewhere. Cyclists, are you prepared to stop? And the big says, notice, cyclists, are you prepared to stop? This is not a downhill course. Expect to see hikers, dogs, or wildlife. Notice, runners and hikers, are you paying any attention to the world around you? This sounds like a trip down UConn campus on the sidewalk where I almost got run over by a bicycle this morning on the sidewalk.
You did?
Again, yeah. Aww. It's like, it's, you know, it's back. It was the first 2 weeks when the kids first came back. It was pretty quiet out there. I didn't really have much of a problem. But I've noticed that the bicycle racks are very, very full. Like,
yes.
Like too full. By the way, quick reach out if anyone from the university is listening. We need more bike racks on campus.
A lot of people are riding bikes on campus, which is kind of exciting.
A lot of people are riding their bikes on campus. A lot of people are riding their bikes on the sidewalks on campus, which, of course, is a personal gripe of mine. But it is legal here, so therefore people do it. I will say it again and again and again. If you're riding on the sidewalks, pedestrian speed only, please. Let's be smart about this. You know, you're here to be smart and get an education. Let's be smart about that, too, please.
I saw an incident today.
You saw an incident?
It was pretty freaky.
In a bicycle incident?
Uh-huh.
Okay, tell me about it.
Yeah, so I was walking over to, I was just walking on the sidewalk, I guess in front of the business school. And to my left is the road. And there's a crosswalk right there. And it was very busy. There were cars, there were people, there were, you know, students walking everywhere on both sides of the street, some students crossing. And there was this, it looked like a young woman driving a car, and a man was on his bicycle, and I'm not sure if he was riding straight. He was trying to cross at the crosswalk, and she didn't see, and he was riding across the crosswalk.
There's the first problem, but
and
go ahead.
She didn't see him. Mm-hmm. And she slammed on. She wound up slamming on the brake. She almost hit him. She came this close to hitting him. In fact, he stopped short, and his bike went down. He didn't go down. He was okay. They were both okay. She didn't hit him. He didn't get hurt. He didn't fall himself. But the bike got knocked over.
Right.
And they didn't do anything. He just shook himself off. He looked at her. She was sorry.
I see it all the time.
And
yeah.
He just got up and rode away. And that was that.
So cyclists, okay, be aware of this. If you're going to use the crosswalk to get across the street with your bicycle, walk your bicycle across the street.
They will see
you if you're walking.
It was confusing to me as to who was at fault there.
Well, technically, the person on the bicycle was.
Because he
was not obeying the rules of the road by way of vehicle use.
Yeah.
So he should not have done that. If you're going to cross at a crosswalk with a bicycle, you should be walking that bicycle across.
But we don't do that.
I know that, but I'm telling you what you should be doing.
Yeah.
Because people who are driving motorized vehicles are not looking for bicycles. They are not looking for, but they do in a college campus situation or a city situation, they do look at crosswalks and they do look for pedestrians. But if you're zipping across there really quickly on your bicycle, you are putting yourself in a whole bunch of danger and you're not doing it right.
That intersection is very problematic. It's the intersection, the Gamble.
Right,
the
by Gamble and the Gamble garage and all that. Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah. It's a really tough one. It's a really tough one. There was a little Fiat that was attempting to inch their way across the crosswalk. You could tell they were getting really, really impatient. And every time they'd inch a little further forward,
more
people were crossing. And I was at that point where I was crossing. I see this person, and he went right up to the edge of my leg when I crossed on the crosswalk. And I just kind of gave him a funny look. Like, you know, just sit still and wait. You're going to get there, but you have to be patient.
That intersection is problematic because the thing is, the truth is that a lot of people cross on foot all the time there. And then there are times a day when there's nobody there. But I think that you probably need a timed light at that intersection. There needs to be a light there.
There probably should be.
Because if you're coming from, if you're coming from the parking garage, and you're trying to turn onto Hillside, you can get stuck there for 5 or 10 minutes because people are constantly crossing. And when you have that kind of situation, and when you have what I just saw today, this young woman just almost hit this guy on a bicycle. The thing is, it's what you said. People get impatient and they inch forward. And they're doing that because there's so much crossing that you have no idea when you're going to be able to cross. That's why it's happening.
And this was just before 10 a.m. and the classes were changing over. And so there is a much, much larger pedestrian usage at that time. There's certain times between classes when you're just going to see just a barrage of people going down the sidewalks.
There needs to be a light there.
There probably should be. It's definitely now, especially that they have the new recreation center there and all too. I mean, it's a busy spot.
Yes.
And the big thing, the big busy spot is that the parking garage is there. Should be one by each parking garage so that, you know, people can get out and get across. Actually, what should happen and never did happen was a number of years ago, the university put a proposal together that was going to turn off all motorized vehicular traffic to the center of campus. And it never happened. So if you wanted to come into campus, the original plan was you would access the parking garage by way of the backside coming in from either going up the big hill like we do when we come in to get into the top of the garage or coming around by the soccer fields and baseball fields and coming in that way. And then from that point, no more vehicles unless they're emergency or maintenance vehicles. And it would have been shut off to all vehicular traffic that was not essential. And the same thing down at North Garage. You'd come in on North Eagleville Road. It would be the same deal. And then you would park your car in the parking garage, and then you would walk from there. Or you would simply go to one of the large commuter lots that are off campus then and take the bus in. And the buses would have access, but nobody else would have access. So that was the original plan years ago. It never got implemented, and I don't know exactly what the future of that is. But I know that Corey is having discussions now with the University of Connecticut about bicycle-oriented things.
Yay, Corey.
Big shout-out to Corey. So anyway, back to this Colorado thing. I thought this was kind of amusing because, you know, all these things that I'm seeing that this person went out and posted, I think them all. You know, when you see something, you say, I thought of that. I thought about saying that. I thought about doing that. So anyway, photos of the signs were posted on Facebook by a Jefferson County local, resulting in more than 3,000 likes and increased discussion. Here's another one of the signs that were out there. Dog walkers, are you prepared to carry that bag of poo all the way back to your car? Yeah, there you go. Passive-aggressive signs like this were found on the top of the Enchanted Forest Apex Trail, a busy 1.5 single track in Jefferson County, Colorado, at the end of August. They were in response to an original warning put out by Jefferson County Open Space legislators on August 22nd that called on mountain bikers saying, cyclists, are you prepared to stop? This is not a downhill course. Expect to see hikers, dogs, or wildlife. So anyway, people have been sharing these. There's a few of them. They're pretty amusing when you look at it. There was, where's the one with the runners? Runners and hikers, are you paying any attention to the world around you? This is not a concert venue. Take your headphones out and pay attention to everyone else on the trail. And then there below that it says up to a $250 fine for hazardous activity. Report violations to dispatch, and there's phone numbers that are put on all these signs. Very interesting. Love it. And notice, expect heavy downhill bike traffic on open calendar days. Even calendar days. Okay. During the current management regulations, half of the state will be riding downhill on even calendar days. Even means dates 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, etc. Anyway, that's a little strange. But anyway, you know, we all have our issues. And of course, there are a bunch of responses to this, people that have been complaining. But I complain about this all the time, even with our rail trails that we have out here. We have these lovely rail trails. They are dirt rail trails out our way. They're stone dust or crushed gravel or whatever they call them, but they're very hard packed and they're very fast. If you know, you can maintain a fairly good clip on them because they're in very, very good condition. But we have local riders and maybe not so local riders that use them as a time trial course, and they get out and they ride at breakneck speed, and they are sharing this trail with people that have not been on a bicycle for 20 years, that are out riding with their kids, and they're very recreational riders. And then we have these folks that are ripping it up as fast as they can down the rail trails, and it's like, you don't belong there. If you're going to ride that way on the road, because that's where you should do that. So, little thing like that. Everybody's got a gripe, and that's why we have Ron's Rant of the Week. If you have a rant and you'd like to share it with us, you certainly can. I kind of broke into this one halfway through. But I thought it was an interesting article, just that shows that, you know, there's always, no matter how much you... no matter how much you get outside and do all your different activities, there's now going to be people that do a different activity that are unhappy with your activity because you're not taking safety into concern as a concern. So always try to be safe. Try to be safe. It's definitely the better way of doing it. So I have this other little piece here too that I picked up and I thought was kind of interesting. How do the fitness levels of e-bikers compare to those who ride regularly? Many believe the e-bikes give the easy way out. How does that really affect your fitness? So the recent research published in Transportation Research in Interdisciplinary Perspectives, wow, that's a mouthful, found that those who ride e-bikes get more exercise minutes per week than those who ride normal bicycles.
Oh.
E-bikers also reported significantly longer trip distances, whether riding an e-bike or a conventional bike. Those who switched from public transportation or cars to use e-bikes for transportation also saw a spike in fitness levels. Okay, e-bikes seem to get a bad rap. Some claim that motor-assisted bike gives you the easy way out, so you're selling out in your workout. Your fitness levels short when you hop on one. Your fitness level is short when you hop on one. But the researchers at the University of Zurich set out to answer this. They gave an initial survey, subsequently followed by up every 2 weeks for nearly a year to over 10,000 riders who rode electric bicycles and conventional bikes. Participants logged their time in metabolic equivalent task, MET, minutes per week. Moderate intensity physical activity is defined as those which hit 3 to 5 METs, which can be a leisurely riding pace of about 5.5 to just under 10 miles per hour. Riding at 15 miles an hour will give you a MET level of 10. Okay, so when they did this, they showed that many e-bikers tended to use regular bikes too. In fact, users tended to ride both an e-bike or a conventional bike for longer periods of time than those who rode conventional bicycles. Those who rode e-bikes reported longer average trip distances for both e-bikes 9.4 kilometers, conventional bikes 8.4 kilometers, while their conventional cycling counterparts logged shorter trips 4.8 kilometers. Additionally, daily travel distances for e-bikers averaged 8K, while conventionals were 5.3K. So these findings are important for one major reason, busting the stereotype that those who ride e-bikes are taking the easy way out. Look at our friend Randy. He rides to Colchester and back from Willimantic, which is not a short ride. It's a 17 mile ride. And he rides there and back on his e-bike. And he told us the other day that he still has lots of fuel left in his battery, too. Why? Because he also was a former non-e-bike cyclist, so he pedals a lot of the time that he's out there. So he's not utilizing the electric all the time, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool. So, and he said it put him back on a bike again. He had pretty much given up on it. And, you know,
That's the big thing.
People turn
their noses up at e-bikes. What they don't understand is that it's going to get people on bikes who would not otherwise ride. And some of those people are going to stay on the e-bike, and some of the people are going to graduate to not e-bike.
So this brings me to my friend Colin Reuter, who is a local New England cyclist, cyclocross guy. We know each other through all that. And he just tweeted this. This was tweeted on September 23rd. And I got this one through a tweet that came through from Richard Fries, another friend of mine who is very much a strong advocate for cycling. So here it is, September 23rd. Just saw a guy commuting with an empty trailer bike attached, burying himself. That burying is in capital letters, himself to stay in the draft of an old lady riding on a e-fat bike up a false flat, and I love both of them. isn't that a great tweet? So there it is. Somebody's like, he sees an e-bike go by, and he said, I can't let that happen. And he's killing himself to stay on the wheel of the e-bike. And as this older woman is riding her e-bike, and not just an e-bike, but one with the fat tires, one of the big fat tires. And this guy's killing himself to stay with her on a false flat. It's great. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's great. Yay, e-bikes. I am a fan. I think they're cool. I think they belong, and I think they're really helping us all. So that's a good thing. So I wanted to chase down the benefits of e-bikes, and what we're finding is that people are actually getting out on their bikes more. Hey, what do you know? Isn't that a beautiful thing? So, other things that I have in my list here, bike fittings, what every cyclist needs to know. So just so you understand, you know, getting yourself on a bicycle is one thing. Getting yourself fit on a bicycle so that you are actually comfortable and also efficient on the bike, that's an entirely different game. And usually you can get pretty close with the general measurements to get yourself started if you have either someone who has been doing this for a long time and might be able to help you out with it and just get your bike seat height correct and all that. But you often have to tweak little things. You may have to move the saddle a little bit further back. You may have to change your cleat position. You may have to do different things. So the 411 on fittings, A fitting is exactly what it sounds like, a professional service that helps personalize the fit of your bike for the way you ride. It's hard to get a bad bike, but it's really easy to get a bad fit or be fit on the wrong bike. And so there's a lot of things that you have to go through. You talked to Fran, and she went through 6 women's saddles before she found the one that she absolutely yeah. must ride on and can't ride on anything else but that saddle. We have enough money in saddles, in ladies' saddles, for her bikes more than some people would spend on a bicycle.
Have you heard of eBay?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. They're still not cheap saddles. They're yeah. expensive saddles. And, you know, even if you're getting them for as low as maybe, you know, only a few hundred dollars.
No, I meant we could offload them if you're concerned about how much they cost.
Oh, no, I'm not concerned about that. I'm more concerned that you're happy with your bike and your bike ride, and then I don't have to hear about you saying, you know, something.
Oh, my handle, my brake hood is...
So here's one. Here's a little quickie out there for anybody who works on bicycles all day long. What is with people who wear out brake hoods to the point where they spin around on the actual brake lever? I'll let you contemplate that. I've never seen it before, but I see it now because this is what Fran does. It's rather interesting. If anybody else has had that experience, you can comment on my Facebook page, Bicycle Talk.
Because I do it a lot.
I would love to hear your input on that. You do it a lot. You do. You do it a lot.
Is it just because
I think you're having an aggressive grab onto the, I don't know what it is. It might be the shifting because you don't have electronic shifting on your bike. And so therefore you have to throw the lever. And the levers, quite honestly, the STI levers are really not made for women's hands, most women's hands.
So why don't we get me women's,
there is no such thing. And the only thing that you can do if you're a woman, and this is a big shout out to electronic shifting is really a great design for women because of the it's the big throw. You know, look at my hands. I have big, long fingers. I have big hands. And therefore, I've got and when you hold my hand next to your hand, we're doing this on the radio, by the way. So get yourself a little closer to the radio and you can see this. If you put the hands together, you will see that there is a tremendous difference in the size of our hands.
I have baby hands compared to his hands.
The exact same levers you ride because there are no women's levers. So before STI, there were women's levers and there were short levers and there were long levers for women and men, but that's not there. Anyway, I'm running out of time. We can't really talk about that now, but we can get a little bit more into bike fit in the future. I am reaching out to anyone who wants to come on the show that would like to talk about bike fit because there's an awful lot to talk about. We could do an entire show on that. So that would be a really fun thing to do.
Call Steve.
Steve would be one. He would definitely be one. So moving on to our and next week, just so that you know, we will have Eric Weiss on the radio with us. Eric Weiss is the bicycle and pedestrian transportation planner in Providence, Rhode Island area. He is also the founder and owner of the New England Bicycle Ball, Bicycle Builders Ball, right, which is a gala celebration and exhibition of hand-built bicycles. So Eric will be our guest next week. It's always a pleasure to have him on. He is a frequent guest here on Bicycle Talk and always very, very interesting. And what he's got is he said, hi, friends. We are finishing up the Southeastern Connecticut Regional Bike Ped Plan and are looking for ways to get the word out. Was wondering if you have room on the radio show for a segment. So next week, yes, we do, Eric. We've been in contact. He's in and he will be here next week on the show. So looking forward to that. And moving on to the event page. This is a sad note, but it is a note, and I thought I would bring it up. The Farm to Fork Fondo 2019, the last one, is this weekend in the Berkshires. So it's our final Farm to Fork Fondo,
and I'm not even
unfortunately, Fran is going to be in Florida, so she will not be around for it.
Because it's Rosh Hashanah.
Right. But anyway, I will be there and I will be announcing the event. So if you are going to the Farm to Fork Fondo this weekend in the Berkshires, look up your old pal, Peddlin' Ron. I'll be the guy with the big mouth and the microphone. Also, other things to know about that are coming up soon. You can go to the events page in New England for cyclocross races. There's a ton of them coming in right now. But on October 12th, locally, we have the Mansfield Hollow cyclocross race, circa 1983. How about that? Been around for a long time. That's the original date of the race. That's when I first started that. And on the following day, on October 13th, there's the Great River Ride, the Berkshire Brevet, and the 200K, 170K, and 100K out up in Westfield, Mass., put on by our friends at New Horizon Sports. There are plenty of other rides on there. If you go on to Bike Reg, you can look up recreational rides, cyclocross rides, whatever you're looking for, and you'll have more information there to check out what you want to be doing with this wonderful weather we're having this fall. So, because it is technically fall now. I think, right? Is it fall? It is fall. So, anyway, my name is Peddlin' Ron, and you've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this live or on podcast, and you'd like to comment, you can send an email to bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. And you can also listen to more and past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, or better yet, be a guest on the show, please send me an email to bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. This is Peddlin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs.